All right, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll just remind you guys that attorney Stan McDonald, indeed, is the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way. He's also a 30-year veteran in the practice of law and a longtime conservative. And I'll tell you more about Stan McDonald here in just a few minutes. All right, let me say this. I love stories about one person taking a stand. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm all about the team effort, about the ability of a group to band together and get great things done. But there's much to be said about the grit and determination of the one person who takes a strong stand in the face of opposition, like just even by themselves. Like a piece I ran across the other day, a story about one veteran who just wanted to fly his flag. And by the way, that was not just any veteran. That was a man by the name of Van Barfoot, a legend, who decided that the HOA for his neighborhood did not know how to find their backside with both hands. Listen, Van Barfoot, on May 23rd of 1944 in World War II, near Cyrano, Italy, that same Van Barfoot who had in 1940 enlisted in the U.S. Army, he set out alone to flank German machine gun positions from which gunfire was just raining down on his fellow soldiers. Van Barfoot, he proceeded to single-handedly take out three enemy machine gun positions and returned with 17 prisoners of war. And if that weren't enough for a day's work, he later took on and destroyed three German tanks that were sent to retake the machine gun positions that he had just cleared. That earned Van Barfoot, who retired as a colonel after also serving in Korea and Vietnam, Van Barfoot got the well-deserved Congressional Medal of Honor. But later in life, Barfoot made news again in a quiet Virginia neighborhood. His neighborhood association took issue with how the 90-year-old veteran chose to fly the American flag outside his suburban Virginia home. It seems the HOA rules said it was okay to fly a flag on a house-mounted bracket, but for decorum, items like Barfoot's 21-foot flagpole were just simply unsuitable. Well, Van Barfoot, the Congressional Medal of Honor winner, he had been denied a permit for the pole, but he put it up anyway, and he was facing court action unless he agreed to take it down. And then the HOA story made national TV. And the neighborhood association rethought its position and agreed to indulge the aging hero who dwelt among them. His words, "In the time I have left," he said to the Associated Press, "I plan to continue to fly the American flag without interference." As well he should. And oh, by the way, as well he had earned. And if any of his neighbors had taken a notion to contest him further, they might have done well to read his Medal of Honor citation first. It seems it indicates that Mr. Van Barfoot wasn't particularly good at backing down. It's a great story, and it was also a big deal, but small in comparison to the one that I'm about to tell you. Let me start by saying, or asking, what if I told you that your opinion not only did not matter, but you were prohibited from even sharing your opinion anyway, like any way at all? No Facebook posts, no town hall meetings, no letters to the editor, no calls to Right Side Radio, nothing. Your opinion was forbidden. In fact, if they wanted your opinion, they would tell you what it is first. Some of you may be thinking that you're feeling that way right now, but you're not, not by a long shot. In fact, your voice may be your greatest weapon. It doesn't have to mean you're always right or that your resume is the strongest or that you have some amazing pedigree or some advanced diploma from an elite university. The voice of the average citizen is still one of the greatest forces for freedom anywhere in the world, especially here where the argument exists that the freedom of speech is an actual right, not a privilege, but a right in our Constitution. So before I go any further, let me be straight up. If you're told that your opinion is out of order, unwanted, unnecessary, or that you should go sit in the corner and just be quiet, well, then you have a decision to make. Do you go away and not make a sound that can ruffle a feather or two, or do you speak up knowing that the Founding Fathers took this very question into consideration? They decided, the Founders did, that the very first amendment to the U.S. Constitution, the very first one, should preserve the right to voice your opinion. Look, I say don't go quietly, even if it means taking a one-man stand. Now, let me also be clear on something. I kind of alluded to it yesterday. The fact that you can speak out doesn't mean that you always should. And no, I'm not crawfishing here. What I'm saying is there's a lot to be said for having the wisdom and the maturity to know when to bridle your tongue and when to just let her rip. And once you speak, you need to be able to ably defend your opinion. You need to be able to back it up. Don't go quietly, but don't go off half-cocked is what I'm saying. Now, having said all that, let me tell you an amazing story. An amazing story about an amazing man. His name was Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee. I don't know if you've ever heard this story before. I told it once on the air, I think a few years back. But the whole story I'm about to tell you is true. And there needs to be a feature-length movie about the life of Watchman Nee. But it bears repeating how this one man stood and he changed the lives of millions. Watchman Nee was a Chinese citizen born in 1903. This was in the pre-communist era, and Christianity was grudgingly accepted as part of society, with missionary schools being really common in certain parts of China. Watchman Nee, whose birth name was Nee Tushang, he became a Christian in 1920 when he was 17, and he immediately began making waves in Chinese society. Over time, he wrote numerous books. He helped to found a non-denominational church that focused on meetings in people's homes and small groups. The name of his church was loosely translated as the Little Flock, but it grew. And it was not really that little when you took it in its totality. At one point, it was estimated that upwards of 1 million citizens of China had adopted the Christian faith, and of those, 10% were members of Watchman Nee's little flock. When the Communist Party came to power in 1949, religion fell out of favor, and like many others, Watchman Nee was deemed suspect, and his opinions were just heresy. He became a target of the Chinese Party's government, and at every step, he maintained his faith, and he spoke about it openly nonetheless. In 1952, Watchman Nee was arrested and imprisoned, and over the next few years in a series of kangaroo courts, he was eventually charged and convicted with conspiring to do damage to the Communist Party, sentenced to 15 years in prison with labor for the purpose of reform and re-education. Except it didn't work. You see, Watchman Nee would not be quiet. I was told by someone that at one point, the party officials in charge of his imprisonment, they actually had to switch out guards every day because he kept leading his guards to Christ. So they were sending a new guard, and Nee would once again lead them to faith in Christ, and then he'd have to send in a new one. In 1967, Nee's sentence was due to be over, but the Communist Party refused to let him go. Without further sentencing, he was deemed to be too dangerous, so they delayed and they delayed for 5 more years, even though he had finished his sentence. Watchman Nee finally died in prison in 1972. And you might think that sounds like a story with a sorry end to a difficult life. But his legacy, man, the legacy that came from speaking out, that legacy is said to be the root of over 10 million Chinese Christians who trace their faith back to the ministry of Watchman Nee, according to statistics compiled by the World Christian Database. Over 3,000 churches worldwide have used his teachings. He wrote 62 books. He was honored by the U.S. Congress in 2009. He was honored in March of, just, 2023 by the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. My point is this. If you believe in something, something that you've committed to with a deep sense, whether it's a matter of faith or principle or ideas or culture or whatever, it's not enough just to shout words and walk away. There's no time in a world filled with social media posts and 24/7 sound bites for people who are just so shallow in their beliefs that they can't defend them. You've got to become a student of what you believe and be able to not just say it, but actually explain it. And if you're ever questioned, then be able to dialogue about it. And if you're offended, be able to counter the offense, but do so with a reasonable response. And when you're told to be quiet, you give strong consideration to speaking out anyway. Liberal arguments, they often defy reason. They defy science. They defy the idea of faith. But they will shout those arguments nonetheless, and they will shout even louder when you don't back down. But when they are truly faced with someone who has the strength of their convictions to match the statements that they're making, they often don't even know what to do. So I say gear up, study up, and speak up. Liberals are demanding that we remain silent these days. I don't intend to go quietly into the night, and you shouldn't either. You need to be like Van Barfoot and fly your flag. And never forget, there's 10 million Chinese Christians who are glad that Watchman Nee never stopped speaking up. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.